It's great to see you, and hopefully, it sounds like we have a ton of disturbance happening outside, all right? The whole world is coming apart outside, so we're going to pray for all of that this morning as we begin. But our text is going to be Matthew chapter 28, Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, and I've given this a title today. All right, and I hope that you are reminded of it throughout the entire sermon so that at the very end you remember what it is, okay? The title is Baptism is a Big Deal, all right? Baptism is a big deal. All right, let's go ahead and pray this morning. Father, thank you for the privilege of meeting together today. I pray that you would help us as we celebrate baptism today, that we would understand from a biblical standpoint just how important it really is. It was so important that Jesus Christ himself was baptized. And so, Lord, we want to look at this today, and we truly, from a biblical standpoint, we want to understand it. Lord, help us to understand why baptism is a big deal. And I pray that you would just be with all the disturbances as well that are happening outside. Lord, we just pray that we'll be able to focus and understand this message today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, in America and in probably other places in the world as well, we have a lot of celebrations. You can take your calendar and look at the different months throughout the year. And there are multiple opportunities throughout the year for us to celebrate, right? There are different things, different holidays, different ways for us all to celebrate. And many times those celebrations are a big deal. They're such a big deal that often those celebrations, those holidays, have picnics, they have parades. Sometimes there's an exchange of presents, there's fireworks, there's costumes, and there is a spirit of joy often that accompany those big deal celebrations that take place. In fact, we have one of those holidays, I guess you would call it, coming up very soon. It's what holiday? Thanksgiving. And there's another one before that. Halloween. All right. Halloween's coming up. And you know, I did a little research, and I found out in 2023 that on Halloween alone, Americans spent $12.2 billion on Halloween last year. Wow. Isn't that crazy? Right. $12.2 billion. And yet, for many of these celebrations, these big deal holidays that happen, do you realize that there are very few people that really understand what a lot of the holidays even mean, what their origins are? People have no idea what they mean. They just know that to the stores, to retail, it must be a big deal, because I was in Home Depot yesterday, and it looked like it was Christmas Eve, right? There was lights, and you say, some people would say, I don't even know what it really means, but I know it must be a big deal, right? I don't want baptism to be one of those celebrations where we come together and we eat and we do a religious ceremony and everyone goes home and they said, you know, that was really nice. I know it was a big deal because the church was full and we had a nice meal and they took lots of pictures. It was a big deal. And then you go home and you say, but I have no idea what it means. You see, in many times in our society and in life, we have these big deal celebrations, and what they really are mostly motion without meaning. Just a lot of motion and a lot of money being spent. And many times we don't even know why or what the meaning is. I don't want baptism today to be motion without meaning. I want baptism today to be motion because we've been called to do it. And at the same time, I want us all to leave here saying, for the first time maybe, I understood what baptism is all about. I want it not to just be motion without meaning. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus here in this passage is getting ready to ascend into heaven. This is after his resurrection. He's with his disciples. He's about to leave them. And you can understand all the time that they had spent with him and all the teaching he had given them and all of the things that he had taught them. And now he's talking about going away. And as he prepares to go, he gives them two things that he wants them to do. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. As Jesus prepares for his ascension into heaven, he looks at his disciples and he says, I'm going to just give you two things that I want you to focus on. Two things. Number one, make disciples. Number two, baptize those disciples. Okay? Two things. First of all, you might ask the question, what is a disciple? I've given a definition here. It's not my own, but one that I found. A Christian disciple is someone who follows Jesus Christ, seeking to live according to his teachings, his values, and example. In Christianity, being a disciple means more than just believing in Jesus. It involves actively learning from him, imitating his behavior, and committing to a life shaped by faith, compassion, and a service to others. Really, for a disciple, what is that? That's a transformed life. That's not just saying, oh, yes, I have some type of relationship with Jesus, but I haven't thought about him in the last 5 or 6 months. This is a transformed life. This is that sanctification. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and now I am committing to be his disciple. Let me give you a couple things that disciples do. They won't show on the screen, but here's a couple things. First of all, they learn from Jesus. A disciple is someone who studies the Word of God, especially the teachings in the gospel. You know why it's so important that we go through the book of Luke together and spend all of that time going through the book of Luke, and now we're going through the book of Acts? You know why that's so important to look at a gospel book and just focus week after week after week on that gospel? Because it teaches us who Jesus is. It teaches us the places Jesus would go. It teaches us the kind of people that Jesus would have compassion for. It shows us the kind of life that Jesus had. It shows us that Jesus loves others. And so by studying the Gospels, we understand who Jesus is. A disciple is someone who grows in their faith, deepening their relationship with God. And what is one of the ways that we can communicate with God and grow daily? What's the way? All right. And we can also pray. Yes, you said it. We can be praying. We can also worship, like Harold has said, or we can trust in his guidance. Where do we get the guidance from? The Word of God, right? We get the guidance. So a disciple is someone who is constantly growing in their faith. A disciple is someone who is living by Christ's values. Practicing love, practicing forgiveness, practicing humility and kindness in their daily life. A disciple is someone who's sharing their faith. You know, it's not just something, well, this is something God gave me a gift and so it's mine and I'm keeping it and I'm not going to share it. What do? When we come across something good, something that's worked well for us, we say, hey, we tell other people about it, right? They say the best form of advertisement is what? Sharing. Word of mouth, right? Sharing. This worked good for me. Why don't you try this? All right. So we share, disciples share their faith. And then disciples are those who are serving others, whether it's in the community, helping those in need, following Jesus' example of compassion and service. So he said two things. First of all, make disciples, right? We're going to make disciples. And then for those who have come to know Christ as Savior and they are true disciples, they're loving Christ, they're following Christ, they're committed to Christ, they're learning of Christ, they're using Christ as an example of how they should live. For those individuals, you should also do what? Baptize those believers, okay? So we're going to talk today about what is baptism and why baptism is such a big deal. First of all, let's look at this. Baptism is a big deal because for the Christian, it's an act of obedience, right? In Matthew 28, 19, Jesus said, go and make disciples and then do what? Baptize them, all right? He said, baptize those disciples. In fact, Jesus himself was baptized and he instructed his followers to baptize others as well. It was an essential act of obedience for the Christian. And for many, baptism is that very first step of obedience in that long journey with Jesus Christ. That idea of obeying, that idea of following, all is part of what a disciple does. It's a way to demonstrate to others that there has been a commitment made to following Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 38, a passage that we've just recently looked over the last couple weeks, Peter gave that great sermon in Acts chapter 2. And in verse 38, it says, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 7, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me.' Jesus answered, 'Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John allowed him to be baptized. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. And the heavens suddenly opened from him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" In submitting to baptism, Jesus did five very important things as an example to all of us who desire to follow Christ in obedience. First of all, Jesus identified with humanity. Now, let me ask you a question. Was Jesus sinless? Yes, he was. So Jesus didn't need to be baptized in the sense that he was showing us through baptism that he had been forgiven of his sins. And that's a very important part for us to understand. But what he was doing was he was saying, listen, I want to identify with humanity. Christ has called you to follow me in obedience and be baptized. I'm not being baptized as a symbol that I have had my sins forgiven, but I am doing it as an example of I am willing to obey my Father's commands just as you are being asked to obey my Father's commands. I'm not above that. And I am submitting to the Father, and I am willing to do that. So he identifies with humanity. He also, in his baptism, he fulfilled righteousness. He explained to John the Baptist that his baptism was necessary to fulfill all righteousness in Matthew 3:15. And that demonstrates his obedience to God's will and his commitment to fulfilling every requirement of the law and God's plan for salvation. Jesus says, I am willing to fulfill righteousness. He submitted to his Father's will. Very similar to that, but he submitted to the will. He modeled obedience for us. It set an example for all believers. Although he is sinless, he was baptized to show that baptism is an essential act of obedience for all followers or all disciples. And then he did what? He made a commitment, a public commitment to his relationship with his Father. Let me show you something else that makes baptism a big deal. Baptism is a big deal because it offers the believer an opportunity for public declaration of faith in Jesus Christ. It's one thing if somebody comes up to you, maybe here at a church service, and they say, hey, have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted Christ as your Savior? And you might, in a private conversation, be able to say, yes, I have. And you might even be able to tell them the circumstances, what was happening the day that you did it. You might be able to tell them the place. I was at church, or I was at home. This is where I was. This is what I did. This is how I made that decision. In baptism, you have the opportunity, though, to go another step further. When all of us are over here having fellowship, there will be a couple who will stand and say, you know, this isn't the most comfortable thing maybe I've ever done, but I love Christ more than my comforts. And I just want everybody here to know I love my Savior. And standing here in this water and being dunked is such a small commitment. You see, for the early Christians in the Roman Empire, we have to think about what these early Christians, when Peter was telling individuals to repent and be baptized, when Jesus was on earth and individuals were being baptized, we have to remember what kind of culture they were living in. They were in the Roman Empire at that time. And in the Roman Empire, there were two classes of people. There was the ruling class, and there was the dominated class. And the latter had no say in governmental decisions. You just had those who were in power, and all the money filtered to them. And then you had the working class who just worked all day, paid their taxes, submitted to authority, worked from dawn to dusk, kept a low profile, and went about their business. They were rarely challenged, or they rarely challenged the official Roman narrative. They didn't challenge authority. They just went along with the program. That was the type of life they were living. And then Jesus comes and he introduces this radically different worldview based on humility, love, and justice, and a kingdom that was not of this world. And when Jesus did that, you have to understand that he was calling individuals to live totally different from the culture in which they found themselves. In a Roman culture, it would have been very normal to have that deep authoritarian worldview built on notions of honor, power, and pride. Achieving status, achieving wealth, and public recognition was of utmost importance. And then Jesus comes along. He comes along. And you know what he is? He's teaching virtue in humility. He's talking about blessings of being poor in spirit. He says the wealthy are the ones who are what? Poor in spirit. Totally different from the culture in which he was living. Totally different from the culture of what everyone around him was hearing. The Roman Empire was built on conquest, military strength, dominance, Violence was often celebrated. Enemies were crushed. And then Jesus comes along, and he teaches radical love, including a command to do what? Love your enemies. And he says, I want you to pray for those who persecute you. How different that was from the culture in which his hearers lived. In the Roman cultures, the hearers of Jesus would have understood a rigid class system that included elites and the very dominance over commoners and slaves. And then Jesus comes along and he teaches equality of all people before God. And he welcomes women and the poor and children and the social outcasts. And when individuals in this culture and at this time heard Jesus preaching and the apostles preaching, they were calling them to stand against a worldview that was totally different than what Jesus was saying. And when they stood up and got baptized and said, "This is what I'm joining," it was a big deal. Because they were saying, starting now, I am going to live radically different in my mind and heart from everything that my culture is teaching me. And I am not ashamed, in spite of persecution, in spite of rejection, I will stand and I will obey Christ my Lord. It was a big deal. It was a turning point where believers identified no longer or were defined by their old life, but now they were defined by their relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, baptism is a big deal because it allows the believer to identify with Jesus' death and resurrection. In just a little while, when we do our baptism, we will take the individual being baptized and we will place them into the water and we will put them down into the water. And in doing that, we will symbolize that Jesus Christ himself, when he took our sins, he was buried in the tomb, right? But we all know what happened. A couple days later, he did what? He rose again. And we will show that we were buried in Christ, but that then when we don't keep them under the water, all right? We bring them back up and we say, but they have risen to what? Newness of life, okay? It's a symbol of the gospel. The act of baptism represents the core message of the gospel, Christ's death for sin and his resurrection to bring new life. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." Romans 6, 4, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too live a new life." We need to understand right here, this is the one negative component, because baptism is a big deal, but we also need to make a big deal of not only what baptism is, we need to make a big deal of what baptism is not. Baptism is a big deal because it allows the believer the opportunity to affirm that baptism is not a measure of salvation. You see, there's a fallacy that goes around many times that says that when a person is baptized, that it is baptism itself. There's something in baptism itself that saves a person or brings them that salvation. And while baptism is a big deal, and it is important act of obedience and public declaration of faith, the New Testament teaches that salvation is by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for you are saved by grace through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is God's what? It's God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. Here's what Ephesians is telling us. You don't do good works so that you can be saved. You take God's free gift, and when he saves you, he sanctifies you, and then he makes it so that you now, for the first time, are no longer a slave to sin, and you have the ability to do good works and glorify your Heavenly Father. We get it backwards. We try to do the works first and then get the salvation. And he says, no, you get the salvation and I'll change who you are. I'll change the desires of your heart. I'll change the way you think. I'll change. You won't be perfect in this life. But he says, "You, when you get saved and you become a disciple, I'll change who you are from the inside out." Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3, it says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously walked according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as others were also. Paul explains that we were dead. Our sins made us spiritually dead. But then he underscores, because of grace. And what is grace? Undeserved favor. See, we were dead in sins. God is righteous and holy. God, who is righteous and holy, does not fellowship with that which is dead in sins. He does not. And so we are separated from God for all of eternity because of our sins. But he says, God gave you a gift. He gave you something you didn't deserve. He made salvation possible through his son, Jesus Christ. See, Ephesians tells us that the ways salvation operates is so different, because in human relationships, many times when we have a fallout with somebody, we say to ourselves, well, I don't know what their problem is, but when they get good and ready and they decide they want to ask for forgiveness, they can come to me and they can get it right. But until I hear from them, I guess it's just going to be, we're going to have no relationship, because that's just the way it is. They've offended me. And if that's how they want to stay, they can stay that way until they come to me, right? That's normally how it goes in human relationships. See, in salvation with God's gift, it's totally different. The one who was offended, God, made the first move for restoration. In fact, if it says we were dead in trespasses and sin, we weren't making any kind of move toward God at all. And God made a move towards us. While grace is the means of salvation, faith is the appropriate response. And so in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says salvation is received through faith. And grace restores the broken relationship between God and humanity caused by sin. Salvation is by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And it's important for us to not say that baptism did it. We need to understand that it's God's gift that did it. Baptism just simply shows, it's an outward picture of what Christ has already done. So baptism is a big deal. And then the last one is this. Baptism is a big deal because it magnifies the person of Jesus Christ. It represents our union with Christ. It symbolizes the believer's unity with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. This act magnifies Christ by illustrating that it's through his sacrifice and his resurrection that Christians are made new and can walk in a renewed life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. And then we celebrate. It magnifies Christ because it celebrates his victory over sin. Baptism is that visible representation that Jesus was victorious over sin. And aren't we thankful for that? By going under the water, believers signify dying to sin. And by rising out of the water, they celebrate their rebirth through Christ's triumph over sin and death. And it magnifies and symbolizes the saving power of Jesus Christ. Why is baptism a big deal? Let's look at all the things it does. Baptism is a big deal because it displays obedience to Jesus Christ. It declares faith in Jesus Christ. It's a big deal because it identifies the believer with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. It's a big deal because it reaffirms that salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And it is a big deal because it's an opportunity to magnify Jesus Christ. What is baptism? Baptism is a big deal. I end with this. In 1829, a man named George Wilson was arrested for a robbery and a murder in a U.S. mail heist. As a result, he was tried, he was convicted, he was sentenced to death by hanging. But George Wilson had some friends, and he had some friends in high places. And his friends intervened on his behalf, and they were able to attain a pardon from President Andrew Jackson. That pardon was granted. That pardon was given. That pardon was signed. And George Wilson was given that pardon. The paper that was signed by President Andrew Jackson was sent to the sheriff's office. They went and they made it known to George Wilson, you've been pardoned. You've been set free. You know what George Wilson said? He said, I want to die. He said, I want to die. And he refused the pardon. And so the sheriff didn't know what to do. He says, I can't hang this man. He's been pardoned. And so they sent it to the U.S. Supreme Court. And Chief Justice John Marshall gave a ruling. He said this, a pardon is a piece of paper, the value of which depends on its acceptance by the person implicated. Anyone under the sentence of death would hardly be expected to refuse a pardon. But if it's refused, it is no pardon. And as a result, George Wilson was hanged. All the while, his pardon, his signed pardon, sat on the sheriff's desk. Jesus Christ made a way for all to be pardoned. You know what? Today there are many who have rejected that pardon. They're still continuing to face a sentence of separation from God for all of eternity. And yet the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Today we stand side by side and celebrate as a big deal those who in a public way say, I've received my pardon. I have accepted it. It has been signed and sealed by Jesus Christ. And I want everyone to know, Jesus Christ has pardoned me. And so we stand with them and celebrate in the form of baptism today. You know why? Because baptism is a big deal. And the reason it's a big deal is because Jesus Christ is an even bigger deal. He has made it possible. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege today to take a few minutes from the Word of God and just define what baptism is, what baptism is not. Because today, when we celebrate and make a big deal out of baptism, today we want to make sure that we are not just having motion without meaning. Today we want to know what we celebrate. We want to know why we celebrate. And above all, we want to know who we celebrate. And the one we celebrate is Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you might help this day and all that we do through baptism have special meaning, and may you be glorified and magnified. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.